I am Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie. And I think one of us is on the wrong page here.
It's possible. Don't worry about it. We are joined by Kyle Ellis of Iowa University, it says.
Yes, University of Iowa.
Well, okay, mine was the low-cost version.
Oh, yeah, no. That's probably a Wisconsin thing, right? You guys just don't recognize it.
Well, actually, I'm from Pennsylvania, so we're all confused.
Fair enough.
So, he was making hand gestures there.
No, I'm just moving the mic, that's all.
Oh, all right.
I'm a little behind a power curve here.
And your purview, your expertise is autonomous vehicles, a hot-button subject these days.
Oh, yes. Yeah, so I'm with NASA Langley Research Center out in Hampton, Virginia. My alma mater is University of Iowa.
You got the wrong shirt on.
I do. It's got the NASA meatball on there, you know. So, yeah. But it's in black and gold, you know, wearing it proud. But we're working a lot of different things in autonomy. We're working on system-wide safety is one that's near and dear to my heart. One of the big things is when we're talking about all these emerging operations, the big issue is how do you integrate these into the existing airspace, right? You got GA, you got everything up through commercial transport. We're even working on supersonics is some of the things that we're looking at, but mixing.
A supersonic drone.
Not drone.
We're talking higher military.
Yeah. If you go over to the NASA tent here at AirVenture, you'll see some of the X-59 work there. But we're working on a lot of different things. And so when you talk about autonomy and bringing some of those things in, when you're talking small UAS, whether it's package delivery, some of that, or even larger vehicles that are more passenger carrying, like UAM. I think some people hear a lot about Uber and trying to do the passenger carrying stuff. So you're downtown New York City and trying to, you know, hail your ride to JFK or something, skipping all the traffic. Looking at those operations, it's a great opportunity in the market and the economy for all these things, but how do you safely integrate all that into the airspace, right?
The only thing I can think of is if you remember the movie Fifth Element, where all the different vehicles are screaming around, it's going to be that.
It's pretty much that way now from what I've seen. I mean, you know, you had stuff flying everywhere, and that's one of the big issues that everybody's worried about. How do you phase in all of this stuff?
How do you phase it in safely?
Right. Yep. Exactly.
That is the key topic here. I mean, so when we're looking at the different architecture of these things, you got to figure out, one, how do we even do this nominally, right, when everything's actually working? So are we going to have a new airspace designation for some of this, a new class of airspace? And those are some of the things that we're looking at right now. And what systems do we need to leverage to actually be able to handle all this, right? Because as human beings, we're limited in our vigilance, our ability to keep track of a lot of different things. Computers are really good at it, right? But where humans are really good is our adaptability, right? So we can handle variable things that we aren't expecting because we're trained up, we have knowledge, skills, and abilities that allow us to do a lot of these things. So we're going to have to take a lot of that knowledge and really do a lot of autonomy teaming with people, right? So you're going to have to leverage the capabilities of all the computer technologies that we've got available that can do some of this autonomously and work that with people. So we're managing groups of things and trying to figure out how to loop all this together. So it's a real complex problem.
Well, and the drones themselves, I guess I should say the UAVs, are changing at such a rapid pace. You're trying to hit a moving target.
Yeah, they're constantly evolving. And that's what's really interesting, right? Because we're at this stage in, you know, humanity where our technology is just ramping up exponentially, right? So trying to put that into existing systems is challenging, right? So it's an iterative approach with some of this, and we're trying to figure out what's the best path forward with some of it. But again, it's leveraging all these different technologies we have available and doing it safely, right? So when you ask the question, when am I going to get my packages delivered to me from Amazon or wherever, it's when it's safe. That's the real answer, right? So we have to. The FAA is always looking for more and more data, and us at NASA are really trying to figure out what different types of technologies do we have, vet them, figure out which ones actually make the most sense, and provide the data to the FAA to say, okay, these operations are now safe.
Well, the first question that begs is Amazon willing to wait that long?
Yeah.
I mean, they're all chomping at the bit.
I can't answer for Amazon, but that's why the partnerships are important, right? So we need to be able to collaborate because a lot of people are developing their own technologies and their services for these things, right? So when we talk about what architecture needs to be in place in the systems level, we have to take all those different factors into account. So the concepts of operations for these things have to be collaborative by nature and have to be complementary by nature to the point where we don't preclude anybody from being a part of the overall system, but we're also taking into account the way that they want their business to work. So.
Right, and even among UAVs, you've got so many different classes, if you want to call it that, of sizes and speeds and range.
Well, yep. The other thing that you got to deal with, too, is the wild card factor, the idiot index. You know, the one individual
yeah,
that
exactly.
says, laws, we don't need no stinking laws, and just flies any way he wants. There's the real fly in the ointment because one of those individuals will booger everything for everybody else. That's happens true. All the time.
The system has to be able to respond in such a way that it keeps everybody out of his way.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And those are that's the random rogue factor that you have to look at for something. And that's true in any type of transportation you have, right? You have people that...
Yeah, the mall parking lot.
Yeah, yeah. All sorts of craziness, right? So and these systems, by nature, especially if you're looking at like ground transportation, is chaotic by nature, right? So you have all these individual people and agents walking around, driving around, trying to make their own decisions with their own intent. If you look at like the national airspace, that's probably the most systematic, organized chaos that we've got, right? So... it's actually a great place to put a lot of these autonomous technologies in there to be able to figure out, okay, how do these actually complement the systems that we already have in place today? And so you can never fully account for all the rogue operators that are going to be out there because they'll always exist. But you always try to make the nominal system that's there and be able to handle the off-nominal events where you have something crazy happen, whether it's weather, whether it's people, whether it's a battery that catches on fire, things like that. We have to consider it, right? But we also have to incrementally work up these safety management systems to be able to handle all of that.
Right. Contingencies.
I was going to say that's a lot of work.
Yep.
Because the phrase once again, humans are adaptable. Machines have to be programmed.
That's right.
And as we all know, you can't program for every contingency out there because as soon as you think, yeah, we've got it all covered, kaboom, there's another one.
Yep.
And people are thinking artificial intelligence is the answer to some of that. And there's a whole camp of people thinking that. And we're looking at those technologies also, right? So where you have things that are more evolutionary programming type things. It's an interesting concept, right? Because now you have a computer that's adaptable and it's non-deterministic, which means if you're like, so let's consider this to like a Autoland system, right? That's a deterministic automation system that you've got, right? And the FAA can certify that because they can verify and validate the fact that it will, a million times in a row land within this 3-foot square box, right? And that's great because it can do that. But if you're talking about a new system that's going to be able to be non-deterministic and adaptable so that on Monday when I say, okay, this is what I want to do and I give it inputs ABC and it gives me XYZ, the next day I do it when I give it ABC, it gives me, 1, 2, 3, and it's totally different, right? So how do you even attempt to certify something like that? And that's really, I think, I'm not speaking again for the FAA, but at least at NASA, that keeps us up at night because we're like, how do you even approach verifying and validating something like that? And so it's the paradigms are going to have to shift as we get into some of this, because when you're talking about certifying software, we're used to it being more deterministic like that. But
because that's the way computers work.
Exactly. But think about what's operating today that's not deterministic. What adapts? And that's the person, right? And we don't certify a person, we license a person. So that might be a new paradigm that we're looking at with some of these new systems in here.
I don't know. He starts talking about artificial intelligence. The only thing I can think of is Skynet.
Yeah, me too.
I'm sure he's heard that before.
T-1000 will be out there.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, boy.
Yeah, that'd be afraid.
I'm sorry, I meant to order pepperoni.
Yeah. Well, it's really interesting what you guys are doing about this, but you have to be pulling your hair out behind the scenes because of all the myriad of possibilities. And, there's another thing, too, and I just thought of this. We have people out there with road rage. Well, what happens when somebody decides to go sky rage?
Yeah, yeah.
And with a drone, it's possible.
Yeah, it is. And so, again, you have to do as best you can to account for all these things. And then when somebody does do something wrong, hold them liable for it, right? So, that's the consequences have to equal the crime with some of these things. And so when we're talking about normal, I'll say, Part 107 operations where people are flying, the person's responsible for what they do. And when we start talking about doing autonomous systems that are going to fly beyond visual line of sight, we have to be able to put the safety measures in place that can handle a lot of that. So it'll be really interesting to see like what moves forward. But a good example of that is we have a technology called Safeguard, because one of the safety critical risks that we have is how do you make sure the drone stays inside the airspace that it has today? So we've developed a technology that is an independent technology that goes on there, has multiple sources of location put into it through GPS and various other things. And so you put it in there, and if you go outside the bounds where you're supposed to fly, it actually will cut the power to the drone, right? So if somebody goes rogue or the autonomy does not work and it starts flying towards the White House, for example, it will just kill the drone right there, independently of what
the
drone's program.
It's the fail-safe.
Yep, exactly. So those are the types of technologies we're starting with right now, and then we'll build into more complexity later.
There you go.
Fascinating.
That's a career right there.
I'm telling you, I'm grateful that I only fly the little drones, the 3-inch across guys. I'm not going to get into too much trouble with one of those.
You could poke your eye out.
You'll fly your eye out.
Yeah, really. No, I have been known to knock things off shelves with it, though.
That and terrorize the cat.
Yeah. Sorry, Kit Kat.
what does NASA project in terms of numbers of autonomous machines in the next 20 years? Have they got a crystal ball at all?
Well, we know it's going to be a lot. It's going to be multiple times of what we're looking at today. And I mean, it already is, right? If you look at it compared to like Part 121 operations that we have now, I mean, you're looking, you know, many, many times more than that today, especially if people are, one, flying it themselves, and you're trying to track all that, let alone, I mean, think about how many packages are delivered right now. And if they're talking about doing drone delivery services like that, wow. I mean, that's going to be a lot of operations to keep track, which is, again, why you're going to have to start leveraging some of these computational technologies.
Yep. Well, Kyle, I want to thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
It's an interesting subject. We could go on for days.
Yes, we could.
I'm Digital Dave.
I'm Fast Eddie.
And this is EAA Radio.